So as we looked last week, we saw Peter at Joppa, which is called Haifa, which is the modern-day Tel Aviv. And there is, on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea, a building with a sign that says, the home of Simon the Tanner. And we come there, of course, it shows this is where Dorcas or Tabitha was raised from the dead. And then it says in verse number 1, we go all the way to Caesarea. Now, Caesarea on the seashore. And there are two Caesareas in modern Israel, but this is the one that is on the Mediterranean. And there is a fortress there. The remnants, the remains of that, you could visit today. And in fact, you'll see, if you would research it, you'll see that there's actually a little place. Of course, the walls are gone, but the foundation is still there, where Paul spent time there in prison, and that is Caesarea on the shore. And so just up the coast from Haifa, there was a certain man named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. And it's important for us to be mindful that there are people who fear God, even though they don't know the whole story yet, right? Brother Henry was kind of talking about that in his devotion this morning at Brotherhood, how that he, you know, as far back as he can remember, he knew there was a God. He might not have known him by name, but he knew there was a God. He had that instruction. And I've talked to people in, you know, through the years, and I'll say, do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they say, well, yes. And I'll say, well, when did you pray and ask his forgiveness and get saved? And they say, well, I've just always believed. And they can't really pinpoint a time where they could say, I prayed and asked God's forgiveness. And so as Baptists, you know, we're, well, you got to have a day, you know, there's got to be a time. Well, no, the reality is if you put your faith in Christ and you ask his forgiveness and you didn't mark it in a book, you're still saved. And I talk to people a lot of times, they'll say, well, I ask God's forgiveness every day. And so the point is this, is they do believe and they do know they're sinners and they've asked God's forgiveness. So what's missing? Nothing's missing. They're saved. Well, here's a man who he believed in God. He believed there was a God, but he tried to do right, tried to live right. If we go out here, we'll find a lot of people who believe there is a God and they try to live right. But as we see here with Cornelius, they don't know his son, Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. They try to be a good person, but being a good person will not get you into heaven. You must go through the Son. Isn't that what Jesus said? No one comes to the Father but by me. And so he is the gatekeeper. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house. We're in Acts chapter 10, verse number 2, which gave much alms to the people. So not only was he a good person, and he feared God, he believed in God, but he also gave. He was a very generous, kind person. And he prayed to God always. He would just always look up in hope and faith and pray. And what was happening to his prayers? Were they getting through? Well, of course, we come to a point here and it says, God heard your cries. It was getting through. God heard them, but he answered them accordingly. Verse number 3, he saw in a vision, this is Cornelius, saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day. And so we consider the day sun up to be the beginning, and so that would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. An angel of God coming in to him, saying to him, Cornelius, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. God is aware of your prayers. God is aware of your generosity. Verse 5, now send men to Joppa. Call for one, Simon, whose surname is Peter. Good thing he clarified that. Why? Because in that house was Simon, right? The tanner. And verse 6, he lodges with one Simon a tanner whose house is by the sea. And when you think about the tanning, what do you know about tanning? Anything? It's a smelly job, isn't it? Just the whole environment would be stinky. And yet, Simon Peter was there at that house, overcoming what he may be offended by in his, nostrils. Yet he stayed there anyway. And now he sends to a place that nobody would want to go. And here in this pit of filth and smelliness, that's where the answer of heaven is. Think about, isn't that incredible? As where do people go to find God? Well, Cornelius was to send his messengers to a place nobody wanted to go, unless they had business there. They'd sell their hides and purchase the leather, but other than that, who wants to be there? Nobody. And so sometimes we find God's grace and his answer in places that we wouldn't even necessarily want to be around. And so he lodges one Simon the tanner, in whose house is by the sea. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now, what would have been easier? For the angel to tell him, well, here's what you got to do. The angel just says, okay, Cornelius, from your heart to God's heart, confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Confess your sin and ask forgiveness, right? Could the angel give him that message? Sure he could have. I mean, it's simple. He knows how. He's never done it because angels don't need salvation. They're heavenly creatures that have never sinned. And yet, that was not the solution. Sometimes God does not give us the easy way. In fact, I would say sometimes he does give us the easy way. Most of the time he doesn't. There's a process. The kids will come up to me and they'll say, especially this new fella, he'll say, Mr. Derek, I want some milk. And after we adjust the way he requests his beverage, he'll say, sir, may I please have some milk, sir? And I say, I'll get you some. The sir part's something he added. I didn't put that in there. And then, so, of course, I don't jump up right away and go get it. And so always he will say, sir, can I have some milk, sir? And I will say, you may have some milk, but you have to learn patience. I'm not going to jump up out of my chair and run in the kitchen. I don't work for you. But isn't that how we treat God sometimes? No, we say, God, we want this. We ask that you'll do this. And then he doesn't do it immediately, and we say, well, God didn't do it. Well, there's a process. Things fall into place, and sometimes, I read yesterday, I think it said, patience is not about the ability to wait. Patience is the ability to wait with a good attitude. How many of us are good at that? But God doesn't give him the answer. When we go to talk to somebody about Jesus, when I tell somebody how to be born again, I want them to pray right now and get saved. That's not what happened here, is it? We've got to plant the seed, give them the information, and let them work it out. I'm not one who presses for somebody right now, get on your knees right now and pray. I don't do that because I don't want to be the driver. I want the Holy Spirit to be the driver. I want that person with their faith to be the driver. Leave me out of it. I'm just here to deliver the information. So the messenger tells Cornelius, there's a guy in Joppa who can give you the answer. All right? Yes, I'm from heaven, and yes, I know the answer, but I'm not giving it to you. You got to send for that guy. And so he pulls some of his servants together, including one of the soldiers, and he declared these things, verse 8, unto them, and he sent them to Joppa. So he's sending three people. On the morrow, okay, the next day, how far is it from Joppa to Caesarea? Anybody know? They say about 60 miles, right? So you hop in the car, you're there. That was not the case here, was it? They probably did take a chariot, if I'm guessing. You know, they're part of the military. Probably had a carriage of some sort. But even if they jumped on horseback, it wasn't a quick trip. And so the next day, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city, and Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Again, here's this house right on the Mediterranean Sea, right on the seaside, the Bible says. It's got a flat roof, and Peter is hungry. He, you know, supper or lunch is not ready, so he goes upstairs and just take in the view. This is Simon Peter sitting on top of this house looking over the Mediterranean. Right? What a life. And he falls into a trance, the Bible says. He became hungry, verse 10, and he would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. How many of y'all ever do that? Right? Just kind of every day? How many of you can come out of the trance? I guess that's the question. But just, you know, just disconnect and basically mind is wandering and spirit's wandering. Is just in an attitude of meditation and prayer and maybe some things on his mind. How many of you do that when you pray? Your mind just wanders and you start doing all kinds of things. And so that's probably, you know, Peter's there and he falls into this trance. We'll use the word the Bible uses. And verse 11, he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending to him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Again, there's the sea, and he's looking, and here comes this sheet. And on it, verse 12, all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Peter had made it this far in his life without bacon. Isn't that incredible? No ham, no chicken. So, and he says, "No, I'm not done it. I've made it this far. I'm not going to mess that up." Verse 15, the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Now this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Okay, get this picture in your mind. Who are these three men? What do they look like? One of them particularly is a soldier. And so you imagine, you know, the answer when they call into Simon's house, "Where's Simon Peter?" And they come out and they see an officer standing there. And they go, I don't know. Do we want to tell him he's here? What's that? Yeah. Hide, Peter. Jump in the sea. But that's, again, get the picture. There's a soldier standing there asking for Simon Peter. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." So, you know, whether those people were willing to go get Simon Peter and bring him to this soldier or not, the Holy Ghost said, "Get down and go up there and see who they are and know that I sent them, and don't worry about anything." Because imagine Peter's face when he comes down and sees a soldier. Here we go again. But not to be concerned, you just trust me. And that, you know, when we have God's confirmation, when God is moving us and teaching us and showing us, we shouldn't be alarmed by what we see. right? Let God lead us. And so Simon went there. And verse number 21, Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that fears God, of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So we are here because God said to come get you. And Peter called them in. They lodged. They, stayed the night. And then the next morning they got up and he told the story. Hey, look, I was up there and this is what happened. I saw this vision and he'll repeat that story along the way. And verse 29, therefore came I unto you, so he's now made it to Caesarea, without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago. 4 days ago. I mean, you want to get saved, you want to get saved now, right? I had a fellow call me a couple of years ago, and he said, Brother Derek, I prayed and asked God to forgive my sins. I got saved this morning, and I want to get baptized. And I said, well, when you want to get baptized? This Sunday? He said, no, I mean today. Can you come baptize me today? Right? And people, they want to get baptized. They want to act on their faith. I was reminded of a fellow, I think he was in his 80s. And he got saved. This was at a church in Orlando. And he got saved Sunday. And the pastor said, well, we'll baptize you next Sunday. He said, no, sir, I want to get baptized today. And he says, well, okay. And so they baptized him that day. And he died Tuesday. Now, would he have gone to heaven without baptism? Of course he would have. You go to heaven by faith. But, that urgency, he didn't want to put it off. And we've got that same case today. A lady called, and y'all won't recognize her, but I know her through the church, through ministry. And she said, I want to get baptized. And I said, well, when? She said, Sunday, as soon as I can. And that's good. Urgency. But God made Cornelius wait 4 days. What happened in those 4 days? Cornelius went around and he told his friends, he said, look, I got a guy coming from Joppa. He's an expert on how to get to heaven. Y'all need to come. Guy knows his business. I know I had a vision. The angel of the Lord told me this guy knows the answer. Y'all need to be at my house when he gets here. And so he's gathered friends. Now, how many friends could he gather in 4 days as compared to 1 day? And so while we think a lot of times that if you want it now and you don't get it, you start to lose interest, the opposite has taken place here. Where he wanted it, he hasn't gotten it, and so the interest is building, and the crowd is building, and by the time Simon Peter gets to Cornelius' house, there's a crowd of people there. And they all want to hear from this expert on God, this expert about how to get to heaven. And so he says, in verse 27, it says, found many that were come together. Verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Remember that when they left Egypt, there were Egyptians that followed the Jews to the promised land. We call the mixed multitude. So there were other nations, other people. Where was Rahab a Jew? No, she was not. She was, you might say she was a Canaanite or a Philistine. When the Hebrews took over Jericho. What about Ruth? Where was she from? She was a Moabitess, right? She was from Moab. So, you know, and Ruth, you know, we look at Rahab and Ruth and we find them in the lineage to Jesus. You know, we can see that. So don't get the idea. And somebody came to me the other day, it was last week, and they said, tell me, if the Jews are the chosen people of God, does that mean they are all going to heaven? And I explained that everybody gets saved the same way. What it means when we say they are the chosen people of God is the Jews or the Hebrew nation is the avenue through which God brought mercy to the world. He chose Abraham. He chose to come through Abraham and his lineage to bring salvation to the world. Not that they are as, you know, as Jews or as the nation, that they would be protected from or that they would be special in their salvation. Salvation came through them to us. They were the first ones to hear about it. That's what it means that they are the chosen people of God. Verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were shocked. I mean, these people that came with Peter, they were Christians. They were church people. But they were Jews. And they still had the mindset that salvation of God was only for the Jews. That this was a Jewish work. Again, God brought salvation through them, but it was not exclusively for them. And I don't know if I have time to tell this, but you've heard about these people that go to heaven, right? And the guy got to heaven and he was being escorted to God, and he went past this one group, and they were over there very silently praying. And he says, well, who's that? He said, well, those are monks, and they've been in heaven, but they don't talk, so just don't disturb them. And they got to the next group, and they were shouting and raising their hands, said, who's that? He said, well, that's the Pentecostals. He said, all right. And he got to the next group, and he said, now let's be quiet when we pass by them. He said, why? He said, they're Baptists. They think they're the only ones here. Right? God's salvation came for everybody. God came for everybody. He didn't just come for the Jews, and he didn't just come for the Baptists. And this salvation is for all. And so these Jews were just, they were blown away that these Gentiles could have this heavenly gift of the Holy Ghost on them. Verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? What? They baptized them. Why? Because they had evidence they were saved. Guys, when you get saved, next step is baptism. There's no question about it. You have to pray about it. You get saved, you get baptized. Why? Because it is the burial and resurrection. We've died to self when we get saved. We accept Jesus Christ and his salvation, his crucifixion on the cross as our forgiveness. But we die to ourselves, and so we need to bury that old man in the waters of baptism and then to be risen to walk in newness of life. There's no question about it. And so baptism was the next step. They baptized him right there. He commanded them to be baptized. Chapter 11, verse 2. When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. You've been hanging out with a bunch of Gentiles. How many of you have ever been criticized for the people you were running around with? Anybody? I can't believe you went to lunch with him. I can't believe you went to lunch with her. I can't believe you're sitting with them. I can't believe you went over there and helped them. Right? People will look for a way to complain. And here are these Christian Jews in the church. I can't believe you went and ate with Gentiles. Now, they didn't complain that he preached to them. They complained that he ate with them. You see, they say, you can preach to them because you should, you know, share. But you don't have to be friendly with them. Right? That's the mentality. No, the truth is we're supposed to love one another. And so they got sideways. And here's what happened. And we won't read it all again. Simon Peter said, hey, guys, let me tell you the whole story. And so he starts with talking about, you know, he went up on the platform and saw the vision and how God spoke to him. And then the men were at the door and God spoke to go get those men. And he went. He said people got saved. But he said, and the Holy Ghost fell on him. But look at verse number 12 in chapter 11. The Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. He said, look, I want you to know something, guys. I've got witnesses. This story is true from beginning to end. What happened there, and that's the important thing. If Simon had gone by himself and the Lord poured out his Spirit on those people, who would have confirmed it? Nobody. But he took people from the church. He took six other brothers with him. And when they came in there, those six other brothers said, I can't believe this is happening. And Simon Peter said, praise the Lord, isn't it wonderful? And so there were others there. And so Simon says, look, it's not just me. This is what happened. Verse number 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. He's talking to people that were in that room that night when the Holy Ghost fell on them. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did to us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? This was God's doing. Was I supposed to say, Lord, hold on, let me go back and get a vote? The apostles need to be in on this decision making. No, they don't. God said it. And so you don't need to ask the apostles what their opinion is. And so what could I withstand God? I mean, really? Is that what we're going to do? When God leads us, when God directs us, we're going to oppose God? Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. See, up to this point, there were some in that crowd didn't think Gentiles could get saved. They thought only Jews could get saved. They said, oh, Gentiles get saved too. I mean, this is opening their eyes. This is changing their direction. But remember, for all of their history, they have had this closed mind, this closed mentality, that they were God's chosen people. That they were the only ones God chose. And the truth is that when God chose them, they were not Jews at all. Right? He chose Abraham back in Iraq. He told him to go, I'll give you a land. And then came Isaac. And out of him, out of that promise, that communion that Abraham and God had, out of that friendship came the Jewish nation. But God didn't stop teaching or reaching other groups. And that's why it's so important for us to be mindful that God is, it not just doing work among us. People say, well, can a Catholic be saved? I've known plenty of Catholics that were saved. And I've known people that were saved in probably every religion you could name of the Christian stripe. But some of them, it wasn't because they followed what their church taught, because if they were doing what their church taught, they'd not gotten saved. You don't get saved by confessing to a priest. You don't get saved by getting baptized. And once you're saved, you're saved. You don't lose your salvation because you sinned. But that's not what some people teach. And you don't get saved by knocking on people's doors. You get saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to Jews only. Again, stuck. Why are they stuck? I can tell you why they're stuck. Because that's the way they were raised. There are so many of us who were brought up with some unbiblical, maybe not be anti-biblical, but unbiblical ideas. And until we can shake that, it's going to affect us and everybody around us. At some point, we've got to shake off those traditions that have kept us from being obedient to God. We'll stop there with the bell. But Barnabas, it says in the end of that chapter, Barnabas went to Tarsus to find Paul. So the work continues. All right? Comments, questions, criticisms? Let's take a break.